quarter and spent 56% of the budget. Areas of underperformance compared to the targets included implementation of the risk management plan, training interventions, safety and security assessments, targeted procurement, as mentioned by the Deputy Minister, and expenditure against budget. In terms of water resource management, we achieved 72% of the targets and spent 89% of the budget. Areas of underperformance included implementation of the National Digitized Integrated Water and Sanitation Monitoring System, the National Water Amendment Bill, the National Water Resources Strategy Process, some of the bulk water projects in preparation, some of the bulk water projects under construction, and dam safety rehabilitation projects, the numbers completed, the numbers of kilometers of conveyance systems rehabilitated, catchment plans, finalization of water use license applications within target timeframes, and monitoring of wastewater systems. In terms of water services management, we achieved 61% of the targets and spent 45% of the budget. Some of the areas of underperformance included updating water conservation and water demand strategies, feasibility and implementation readiness studies for regional bulk infrastructure projects, district municipality five-year water and sanitation reliability plans, the amount of the regional bulk infrastructure project phases completed and water services infrastructure projects completed, water services amendment bill process, performance evaluation of water boards, and regional water utilities gazetted for establishment. Chairperson and members, in the coming slides, we'll get into more of an explanation of the reasons for the underperformance in these areas. In terms of filling of vacancies, as indicated by the Deputy Minister, the department has made quite substantial progress in the last few months with the filling of the DG's post with effect from the beginning of January. And Cabinet just announced last week that it had approved the filling of the Chief Director's post. So the Chief Director's post will be formally filled shortly after the contracting has been done with the person approved by Cabinet. In total, 23 senior management posts have been filled since the start of the 21-22 financial year. All of the provincial heads positions are now filled. Recently, we made offers to the two remaining provincial heads, and both have accepted following a procurement process. So the provincial head for the Western Cape will start on the 1st of March, and the provincial head for Gauteng will start on the 1st of April. All the chief director posts in the department are now filled, except for one, which was vacated very recently. The chief director internal audit position was vacated. She got a better job actually working for Parliament. So she's now working at Parliament, but we have re-advertised that post with the closing, and it closed on the 4th of February. And shortlisting is currently underway. We are also currently prioritizing the filling of other critical vacancies in line with the compensation of employees budget allocation and with the approved organizational structure, with particular emphasis on professional and other critical technical positions. As mentioned by the Deputy Minister, we do have a delay in the finalization of our annual reports, and that is because of a delay in the process to finalizing the audits by the Auditor General. And those audits relate particularly to the water trading entity and the TCTA. They were delayed due to a disagreement on accounting treatment for costs related to Lesotho Highlands water project, as mentioned by the Deputy Minister. The matter was escalated to the Office of the Accounting General in National Treasury, which provided a formal feedback report and engaged with the Auditor General's office. There now is agreement between the Accountant General and National Treasury and the Auditor General on how those costs should be treated in terms of accounting processes. And the Auditor General is now finalizing his audit based on that agreement. We are just waiting for the Auditor General to complete their finalization based on the agreement with National Treasury on the treatment of costs, and we will then be able to submit our annual report together with those of the TCTA and WTE to Parliament. Next slide, please. In terms of non-financial performance, next slide, please. This slide provides a graphical representation of non-financial performance for the third quarter. I did give these figures earlier, but this is just a graphical representation of them. Let's go to the next slide. And this is the figures that the Deputy Minister was talking about in terms of our progress against our targets, in terms of achieving empowerment from our procurement processes, in terms of appointment of SMMEs, we did exceed the target. 46% was achieved from a target of 30%. In terms of EMEs, 33% was achieved against a target of 15%. But in terms of QSEs, only 13% was achieved against a target of 15%. I have had a discussion with the Chief Financial Officer about this, and he and I have agreed that the way to improve this in future is to make more use of the allowance for set-asides in the preferential procurement policy framework regulations, the PPPFA regulations. In terms of people with disabilities, we only achieved a target of 2%. We only achieved 2% against a target of 7%. For women, only 27% against a target of 40%. And for youth, 19% against a target of 30%. So as I indicated, we need to make better use of set-asides in order to try and improve these in future. Next slide, please. And the next slide, please. So now we're now turning to a bit more detailed look at non-financial performance. And this shows a summary data in graphical form for each of the budget programs. Let's go to the next slide, please. For departmental management, there was some of the key achievements included that there was 61% compliance with the approved audit action plan. As indicated, we've made good progress in terms of filling the posts, engineers and scientific posts. We've maintained good availability of information technology systems. In terms of financial management, we are at 89% implementation, or we were at the end of the quarter, of the financial recovery plan. Debtor days have been reduced to 119 days. We've covered the information on preferential procurement. We, on an ongoing basis, have continued to implement our international relations programs. For this program, some more detail on the areas of partial and non-achievement for the quarter. Our target for compliance with the implementation of the risk management plan was 100% for the quarter. We achieved 83%. The reason for this is that we decided to change our risk management plan based on a strategic risk review mid-financial year, and we are updating the departmental strategic risk profile, and it's therefore can't be said that implementation is 100% complete because the risk management plan has been changed. In terms of the percentage of training interventions implemented, our target was 35%. We achieved 17%. And the main reason for this is that during that quarter, the COVID protocols were still strong. And there were, as a result, we didn't get the attendance that we would have hoped for. The way that's going to be addressed, as long as the COVID protocols remain, is to have more online training sessions. In terms of the indicator of the number of safety and security assessments for facilities and installations conducted, the target was 16. We achieved 12, and that was due to the department's closure for the vacation period. But these assessments will be finalized by the fourth quarter. In terms of its percentage expenditure on annual budgets, this one is quite an underperformer. The target was 78%, the actual was 55%, and there are a number of reasons for this, including under expenditure on compensation of employees, which we'll provide more detail on later, on goods and services and transfers and subsidies, and payment for capital assets. Chairperson, with your permission, in the latter part of the presentation, the finances of the department, I'm going to ask the CFO to present. And in that section, we've broken down the reasons for the under expenditure in the quarter and what we're doing about it in more detail. In terms of percentage of targeted procurement spent on QSEs, we didn't meet the target of 15%. We only achieved 6%. And that was due to there being low procurement activity for relatively low-value procurements, which would be undertaken by QSEs. A revised procurement plan has been developed, and as I indicated earlier, in future we intend to make more use of set-asides to improve this. For the budget program on water resource management, this slide gives a graphical representation of the achievement in terms of APP targets. So a summary of achievements for the quarter is that National Water and Sanitation Master Plan update was drafted. Operational rules and specialist strategies were completed for the Western Cape and Amatoli. We developed climate change risk and vulnerability assessments, and we developed monitoring and evaluation reports for various water resource infrastructure systems. In terms of water ecosystems management, we gazetted RFOs for the Tukela. And in terms of water resource information management, 4 water resource monitoring programs were reviewed and maintained, and 6 water and sanitation information systems were maintained. And we made progress in terms of the Lindley gauging station. In terms of water resources institutional oversight, draft business cases for 2 of the CMAs were developed. Stakeholder consultation on the draft bill for establishing the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency was done. Stakeholder consultation for the transformation of the Comtours and Upington Island Irrigation Boards was done. While we're on the issue of the bill for the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency, we've reached the end of our internal government consultation processes in terms of the consultation phases before submitting to the cluster. We're just waiting for the approval of the state law advisor of the draft bill, and then we're hoping to get that by March. And then we intend to submit the bill to the cluster with a recommendation that it's in turn, that the cluster approve that it be submitted to cabinet for approval for gazetting for public comment. In terms of water resources infrastructure management, the slide gives detail of the number of maintenance projects completed as planned, and the number of unscheduled maintenance projects completed, the dam safety evaluation was completed for the Durung Rivier Dam, that the Mtata Dam rehabilitation project is at 40% completion, that we adhere to water supply agreements, authorizations and operating rules, and that we met our targets in terms of job creation through projects. In terms of water resources regulation, the Berg's Olifants River system was assessed for resource-directed measures. The Upper Vaal and Crocodile catchment mitigation strategies for mine water and wastewater treatments reached 50% completion. A waste discharge charge system that's as part of the water pricing strategy was piloted in the Crocodile West Limpopo and Nkomati Usutu catchment management agencies. Implementation of river eco status monitoring was done in 81 rivers. the 22-23 raw water charges were developed. The water research levy was approved and gazetted. A second draft of the business case on the looking at the pros and cons of establishing an independent water economic regulator was commenced. The second draft of water allocation regulations was developed. 90 water users were monitored for compliance, and 992 wastewater systems were assessed for compliance with the Green Drop regulatory requirements. Chairperson and members, we are on track with the Green Drop assessment of wastewater treatment plants throughout the country, and we will be publishing the results of this Green Drop assessment by the end of March. In terms of water resources information management, in terms of deviations from targets, we had a target of a solution market study for the National Digitized Integrated Water and Sanitation Marketing System to be produced. The study wasn't finalized due to weaknesses with planning and procurement, which resulted in delays, and the procurement to undertake this activity is now nearing completion. Chairperson and members, I must say you will hear through the rest of my presentation on areas where we've partially met or not fully met the targets, that there's a common theme in many of the reasons, which is weaknesses with procurement in the department and supply chain management, and sometimes also a lack of proper integration between planning processes and procurement processes in the department. So I've noted this problem, and it's an area that I'm going to be focusing on with the CFO in the coming months to work on the improvements of procurement and supply chain management in the department. General procurement of goods and services, but also particularly infrastructure procurement, which requires specialized and quite sophisticated procurement methodologies. There are guidelines from the Department of Public Works and National Treasury which have been put in place, and I think the department still has quite a way to go to meet the standard that's set by those guidelines from Public Works and National Treasury with regard to infrastructure procurement. In terms of water resource management, the target was that the National Water Act Amendment Bill should have been submitted to top management. This has not yet been done because we are awaiting certification from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor before taking it to further steps. So the work has been done, it has been drafted, but it's waiting the necessary certification from the State Law Advisor. In terms of the National Water Resources Strategy, the target was for it to be submitted for public consultation. The target wasn't met, but I am actually presenting this to Cabinet tomorrow morning for approval from Cabinet that it be gazetted for public consultation. Next slide, please. In terms of the number of bulk raw water projects in preparation for implementation, this one was severely underachieved. The target was 5, the achievement was 0. Two of the 5 were projects related to the Olifants River Water Development Scheme or program, and they're being resequenced to allow for private sector participation. And this means that they will be done at a later stage jointly with the private sector, which will help to relieve the pressure on the fiscus. Two of the other ones are Kurni Dam and Zalu Dam, and the procurement of the necessary design work was slower than expected, but the procurement is now proceeding. And the 5th one is Mwamitwa Dam. And for this one, the design was not completed by the implementing agent, and DWS is taking action to obtain the final deliverables. And the next performance indicator for which there was partial or non-performance is the number of bulk bore water projects under construction. The target was 4, the achievement was 2. One of those projects was Clan William Dam, and the department changed its strategy from using an implementing agent to using the department's construction unit, and that change resulted in a delay, but the project is now underway. The other project is Tzaneen Dam, for which there was also a delay in the appointment of an implementing agent, which is the DBSA, but that delay has now been resolved and the appointment is now underway. Chairperson, we are busy preparing to present to the Portfolio Committee on progress with all the major projects being implemented by the department. And at the committee's convenience, when you send us an invite, we will be ready to come and present, make presentations and send you progress reports on all the major projects of the department. Next slide, please. In terms of the number of job opportunities created through implementing augmentation projects, this is again an area of underperformance, naught against 30, but the reason is that a delay in the starting of the augmentation projects, and the projects are now underway and the jobs are being created, so it will reflect better in the fourth quarter. The next indicator is the number of dam safety rehabilitations completed. That target wasn't achieved. Construction is currently at 30% completion. Construction was delayed due to a lack of availability in the country of the required materials, and work is in progress to resolve the materials availability issue. In terms of the target of the number of kilometres of conveyance systems rehabilitated, the target was 1 kilometre. We only achieved 480 metres. And again, the problems with our internal construction units, and that it was delayed by late delivery of reinforcement material and shortage of cement material for canal lining. And those issues have since been resolved, so we should do better in the fourth quarter. Turning to water resources regulation, for the indicator, the number of catchment plans implemented for mine water and wastewater management, the target was 1. It wasn't achieved, and the reason for that was that consultation was postponed to the fourth quarter due to poor attendance at consultations arranged in December. For the performance indicator of percentage of applications for water use authorization finalized within the regulated period, the target was 80%, the achievement was 72%. And in this regard, Chairperson, the department does have a comprehensive improvement plan for water use licensing, which we can be available to present to the committee. And that improvement plan has been approved and it's now currently under implementation. It's comprehensive in the sense that it aims at addressing all the different interrelated causes of delays in the issuing of water use licenses, including shortages of staff in the provincial offices, business processes for issuing water licenses that could be streamlined and made more efficient and effective, and further rollout and improvement of the electronic e-WLAS system, as well as the training of staff. So all of those things are concurrently being implemented at the moment, and we do foresee that over time, with the implementation of this improvement plan, the department will get better at meeting its targets for timeframes for issuing water use licenses. In terms of the indicator of the number of wastewater systems monitored against the regulatory requirements, the target was 89. We achieved 79. And the reason for this was that priority was given to the assessment of the wastewater systems within the Green Drop system. And as I've indicated, that is now being finalized and the report will be issued by the end of March. In terms of the Water Source Services Management Program, budget program, this slide graphically displays the progress for the different areas of performance. And key achievements during the quarter included the collection of water balances for various water supply systems, various water services authorities were supported with data collection for the MUSA system. The impact report was confirmed for various WSAs. Provincial action plans were developed for four provinces, and there was stakeholder consultation on the draft national fecal sludge management strategy. For the RBIC, a total of 99 project phases were under construction during the quarter, 7 of which are mega projects, 60 are large projects, and 32 are small projects, and 2 project phases were completed. And the Baal intervention project is currently under implementation. I did see, Chairperson, in the invitation letter that you sent that the committee would like a progress report on the Baal intervention. We are ready to be invited by the committee to make a presentation on the Baal intervention in Impuleni. In terms of the water services infrastructure grant, there's a total of 202 projects under construction and 5 projects were completed. And there was stakeholder consultation with regard to the 22-23 bulk water tariffs. This slide just gives an overview of provincial projects funded through the regional bulk and water services infrastructure grants, the number of projects and the numbers that are green are where we achieve the targets in terms of the numbers of projects. Yellow, partially achieved, and the blue shows the recovery from the previous quarter. Turning to partial or non-achievement for the quarter for the water services and local managed water services branch. For the indicator, the number of water conservation and water demand strategies updated. The target was to produce an inception report, but the inception report was not finalized. For the number of feasibility studies for water and wastewater services completed, the target was 5, but none were achieved and the appointments are underway. For the number of implementation readiness studies, the target was 1. It also hasn't been achieved. And the number of district municipalities with 5-year water and sanitation reliability plans, the target was 5. It's also not achieved. So this slide depicts very poor performance by the department with none of the targets achieved for these planning. And you'll see in the reason it's the issue that I mentioned earlier, Chairperson, with weaknesses with procurement and supply chain management in the department and the lack of integration of planning and of work with procurement planning through the annual procurement plan. So as I indicated earlier, my intention is to work closely with the CFO to address the systemic problems in the department related to procurement and supply chain management, and to make sure that there's better links between planning of work and procurement planning so that this problem is dealt with in future. With regard to the RBIC, the target was the number of small regional bulk infrastructure project phases completed. The target was 3, the achievement was 1. The reason for the targets not being met was delays due to community unrest and heavy rains, but the contractors are back on site and implementing an acceleration plan. For the Water Services Amendment Bill, the target was for the Water Services Amendment Bill to be submitted to top management. But again, similarly to the Water Services Act Amendment Bill, we're awaiting certification from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor before taking it further. For the target of performance of water boards evaluated against their performance, the target was quarterly reports for 9 water boards. The deviation was 1. And the reason for that was a delayed audit finalization. That was for the Sedibeng Water Board. The indicator of the number of regional water utilities gazetted for establishment, the target was to draft due diligence for 2 regional water utilities to be developed. One draft due diligence was developed. It was under by 1. But Chairperson, with regard to this target, with the new political leadership in the department since August last year, as indicated by the Deputy Minister and even as indicated in the State of the Nation address, there's a new strategic focus on working with the water boards to ensure that they support municipalities adequately to get the district development model working and to address failures in municipalities with regard to water and sanitation. and to address non-compliance with national norms and standards at municipal level with regard to water and sanitation. We've been working hard on this and doing a review of it, and the department and the minister's view is that the water boards can play this role within the existing legislative framework, that a great deal can be done with regard to the water boards playing the strategic role within the existing legislative framework, and that it's not necessary to change them into regional water utilities in order for them to play this new strategic role. Chairperson, that brings me to the end of the presentation on the non-financial performance information. With your permission, I'd like to hand over to the Chief Financial Officer to present the rest of the presentation, which covers financial performance information.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee, DMs, DG, and colleagues. I'll be providing an overview of the financial performance for the third quarter, as well as the financial recovery plan of the department. Let's move straight to slide number 34, then I will read the narratives together with that slide. Chairperson, in terms of the spending for the period, the department has spent 55% for the period ending 31st of December, which reflects a deviation of 2.75 billion against the approved drawings. The underspending, as reflected on the presentation, is in the three programs of the department, as well as the economic classification. Under compensation of employees, we have recorded underspending of 47.6 million for the reporting period, and that chairperson is mainly due to the SMS moderation, which was currently underway, as well as the approval by the Minister for Public Safety and Administration on the condition of service for the members of senior management. Another factor relates to the filling of posts. We had to reduce some of the posts due to the outlier cut of the budget. On goods and services, we have the underspending totaling 286 million, and one main contributor there relates to the officer accommodation, which we are paying to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. That chairperson, we have been engaging with the department. They are still finalizing the invoicing for the entire year on the other claims that they have to submit to the department. They are working with National Treasury, but they have indeed indicated that by the end of March, we should have received those invoices. We also have the Vaal River Pollution Remediation Project, where National Treasury allocated funds for operational expenditure. We have underspending there, which is covered under the grants which I'll be talking to. The other main contributor relates to transfers and subsidies. In terms of the budget, we have 9.4 billion being transfers and subsidies. A bulk of that, chairperson, goes to municipalities where we have conditional grants, as well as the departmental agencies, which is mainly the water trading entity. We also have the water boards, which we're transferring allocations to. So there are three main reasons for the underspending for the reporting period. The first one relates to the withholding of funds due to non-compliance with the Division of Revenue Act. We did report this to the Portfolio Committee before, and we also undertook that we are working with the municipalities to ensure that compliance is achieved so that we can transfer. We managed to transfer a significant portion in the third quarter. However, we did also notice that there are a number of municipalities that still had a non-compliance, which I'll talk to in the subsequent slide. The other main contributor to the underspending is the buildings and other fixed structures. These are the projects that DG referred to. In most cases, we implement these projects through implementing agents, municipalities, and water boards. So when there are challenges in that space, it does affect directly the department in terms of spending. We can move to the next slide. The next slide, chairperson, is the same information that I have mentioned earlier on slide number 34. This is just quarterly and year-to-date analysis of the same information, which reflects that in terms of the drawings that we planned for the third quarter only, we managed to achieve 87% for that period. And then year to date, cumulative is 78%. The various economic classifications are also reflected, and I will be talking in more detail to the project in the subsequent slides. Slide number 36. Slide number 36, Chairperson, is the auto trading account or entity of the department, which has six programs, including the TCTA, which we are paying quite a significant portion of the allocation towards servicing of loans, as well as operations and maintenance. Against the annual budget for the reporting period, we have spent 54%. And year to date is 86%. The various spendings as per the sub-programs are also reflected in there, and if need be, we can go into the details. Slide number 37. As indicated earlier on, Chairperson, a significant portion of the department's allocation goes towards infrastructure development. So this slide depicts the allocation towards the regional bulk infrastructure grant, which combined amounts to 6 billion. That is the direct transfers to the municipalities through the conditional grants, as well as allocation that we make use of through the implementing agents, the indirect grants. Then we also have the allocation for the Vaal River pollution remediation project, the one that we reported in the second quarter that it is an approval for the rollover from the previous financial year. The other category, Chairperson, relates to the water services infrastructure grant, combined both the direct allocations to the municipalities as well as the allocations that we transfer in kind to the municipalities. The total allocation is 4.3 billion, and we have spent for the period 2.2 billion. Water boards, almost a billion. We have 902 million that has been allocated for the water boards. We couldn't transfer to the other water boards, Mahalis Water, as well as Umgeni. Umgeni Water Board, Chairperson, is scheduled for transfer in the last quarter. We did engage National Treasury. The funds came through the special adjustment budget, and we have obtained the approval from National Treasury that we can transfer the funds in the coming period. For Mahalis Water, the reason for not transferring, the planning documents were still being finalized between the department and Mahalis Water, and we are hopeful that all this will be transferred in this last quarter. The other allocation towards water trading entities for the acid mine drainage, the AMD and other capital projects, and those transfers has been made to the water trading account where the spending takes place. We also have transfers as well to the Komati Basin Water Authority, which we have reported previously to the portfolio committee, the arrangement between the Republic of South Africa as well as the Kingdom of Eswatini. We have the projects that we are funding jointly there. We can move to the next slide. The next slide, Chairperson, this relates to the allocations to the various municipalities. We have provided the portfolio committee in the appendix with the details of each municipality as previously requested. So if you would like to go into a specific municipality, we can go to the appendix. And for the period, we had to spend an amount of 1.2 billion for various provinces, of which only 1.1 was spent. The reason for the deviation, which is reflected as 150 million, relates to the withholding of funds, as indicated that there were instances of non-compliance with the Division of Revenue Act. The reasons there, under one, for the Eastern Cape, the municipality was placed under Section 216(2) of the Constitution by National Treasury. And for the other provinces, the reasons why those transfers could not be made was due to under-expenditure on the previous transfers and instances where business plans were not submitted timely to the department. And those are the areas where I said there's continuous engagement between the department and the affected municipalities. Slide number 39. RBIC 6B, Chairperson, These are the allocations that are transferred to the municipalities in kind, where the capital expenditure, the budget is with the department. In this case, we have 3.2 billion. We managed to spend 1.2 billion. Most of these projects are implemented through municipalities and the water boards. We have recorded, I think, 5.7 so billion of commitments through the various water boards and municipalities. However, those could not be spent for the reporting period for various reasons, which we have reflected on the presentation, capacity constraints with some of the implementing agents and their contractual disputes, community unrest. DG spoke to those as well. We also have instances where projects are delayed due to some disruptions by some of the businesses where they demand allocations from the tenders. And I must indicate that the department has put together a recovery plan to ensure that the project management systems that DG referred to, as well as the support to the implementing agents, help us to ensure that we optimize spending in this area. Slide number 14. This relates to the water services infrastructure grant, the transfers that we make to the various municipalities. Allocation for various provinces, 3.6 billion. We planned together with the municipalities that will be transferring 2.3 billion, and only 2 billion was transferred. The deviation totals amounts to 292 million. And the reasons are the same as the ones under the regional bulk infrastructure grant. For the Eastern Cape municipality, it's because of invoking of Section 216 by National Treasury. And for the other provinces, is the underspending as well as non-submission of business plans. We have engaged with the various departments, which includes Treasury as well as COCTA and the provincial departments, to ensure that we correct the situation in the coming quarter. Slide number 41. Chairperson, this is the indirect allocation of the water service infrastructure grant. Again, 739 million has been allocated. This is where the department is able to implement projects directly or through implementing agents. And it's indicated a bulk of these are implemented through the water boards of the department. The reasons for underspending, let me start with the generic ones that I've mentioned about the capacity of some of the water boards, as well as contractual disputes and the same factor that I've risen that I've mentioned about the business community demanding allocations is still applicable in this case. In respect of the Eastern Cape, Chairperson, I can confirm that subsequent to the 1st of December, we did receive invoices from Amatola Water and Rain Water in relation to the advances that were paid to them. So we should be able to increase the expenditure in the new in the fourth quarter. So expenditure for Eastern Cape subsequent to the reporting period has went up as a result of those invoices. The underspending in the Free State province relates, and Northern Cape relates, mainly to a bucket eradication program. Most of the projects there were are at design and documentation stage. We also had a process that we presented to the portfolio committee in the last quarter, that we had a process of ceding the contracts from HDA to the department. HDA was previously appointed to implement the projects, so we have done the due diligence and the contracts are now being signed off by the department. So the department will be responsible for implementing this project and no longer through the HDA. Regarding Gauteng, I can also confirm that subsequent to the reporting period, the municipalities have appointed contractors and they have started taking site in the fourth quarter. So the allocation that we have indicated is 30 million for Gauteng. We are certain that it will be spent as per the work packages that we have engaged the municipalities on, as well as their confirmations. Slide number 42. Chairperson, in relation to the underspending on the various allocations to municipalities under the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the details are indicated here. For Eastern Cape, is the OR Tambo District Municipality. That is where I have indicated that the National Treasury has invoked Section 216(2) of the Constitution. And for the other provinces in Mpumalanga, the province are reflected there, including the one for Northern Cape. And as indicated, we also took guidance of the portfolio committee. We are constantly engaging with the national treasury, provincial treasuries, as well as COCTA to ensure that we assist the municipalities so that these funds can be utilized before the end of the financial years of the municipalities. Can move to the next slide. Okay, for the water services infrastructure grant, Chairperson, these are the municipalities. The reasons are the same. So it outlines exactly the affected municipalities in the provinces as reflected on the slide. You can move to slide number 44. For the water board, Chairperson has indicated that Mahalis Water, there's a process between our planning office in the department together with Mahalis Water. So we are hopeful that all these transfer payments will be implemented, effected before the end of the financial year. And with regard to Umgeni, I can confirm, as indicated, that the allocation for the lower Umkhomazi water, bulk water supply scheme was allocated to the department through the adjustment budget, and we had to go through compliance process, ensuring that the required business plans and agreements are in place, and Park KZN office is finalizing those processes with Umgeni to ensure that we have compliant transfers to the affected water board. For Sidibeng Water, as reflected, Chairperson, we have allocation towards two major projects, the Namakwa bulk water supply scheme, which is implemented by Sidibeng through the construction unit of the department. The invoices have been received and being certified, so the allocation will be released to Sidibeng Water. Similarly, with the Balkhamahara water supply scheme, as DG indicated, the comprehensive presentations reports that indicate the status of the reports. So we should be able to transfer this before the end of the financial year. We also obtained approval from National Treasury to assist Sidibeng Water. There were challenges in the preceding quarter up until the third quarter, and we had to obtain approval from National Treasury to reprioritize some of the allocation to assist Sidibeng, hence that allocation for financial assistance for their operational cost. Thank you. Can move to the next slide. The measures that the department has put in place to ensure that we improve spending in the towards the end of the financial year, they are threefold. Chairperson, the compensation of employees, the senior management services, I think the filling of posts, DG and our principals have confirmed that those are being expedited. We actually do not have any outstanding vacancies at the chief director level, except for the ones that have been vacated recently. We also have an approved human resource plan. This plan is being prioritized. There are critical posts that are being filled to ensure that we remain within the limited funds that have been allocated over the medium-term expenditure framework. And regarding the local government continual grants, we are working with treasuries as well as COCTA to ensure that we transfer these funds with due consideration to compliance and service delivery. And we are hopeful that since the municipalities will still be able to spend these funds within their financial year, we'll do so within the ambit of compliance. And for operational and capital expenditure, DG mentioned the improvement of capacity within the department in relation to project management, as well as instances where there is a misalignment between your supply chain plans, your procurement plans, as well as the project implementation plans. Those are the areas where we are trying to implement. It doesn't only relate to the department, that also goes through to the implementing agent, because the department is still accountable for those. Challenges with the unblocking of community unrest, also we have seen also our principals have been engaging together with the management of the department, with the various communities to ensure that we unlock some of the challenges that are really locking the 6.3 billion allocation of commitments that were issued. The allocations have been issued, commitments issued. However, due to all those various reasons, those are stagnant, but we are making some progress in other provinces, and we hope that expenditure will also improve. Budget reprioritization also has been effected, where projects with low spending where they prioritize the funding towards those that have the capacity to spend. And we are all aware that we need to make sure that those do not suffer. So the allocations are also being reprioritized back in the new financial year, so that those communities from which funds were reprioritized do not suffer as a result of these reprioritizations. And contractual disputes, those are being attended with the legal services of the unit. We can move to the next part of the presentation. Chairperson, the next part of the presentation relates to the financial recovery plan of the department. As standard, we are required to report back to the portfolio committee on how we are progressing around the financial recovery plan. The recovery plan covers those four broad strategies: the budget, expenditure, governance, and then the alignment that DG indicated that we need to align all those areas of strategy, the APPs and the budgets. We've also added the project implementation plans as well as the capital budgets and asset management. The status is reflected there on audit issues. Feedback has been provided to the portfolio committee that will engage the Office of the Accountant General. However, the department is still in the process of implementing the audit findings that have been raised whilst we're still working on the issues that were resolved through the Office of the Accountant General. The other the progress and status are reflected there, and we should be able to respond to the committee should the need arise. You can go to this next slide, slide number 48. The financial highlights, Chairperson, as indicated, we had previous issues of unfavorable balance, the overdrafts. Those have been dealt with. I think the biggest challenge is spending in the department. And the prepayment advances, those relates to the water boards, where the department has been trying to assist those water boards who are having challenges with the cash flow to ensure that they're able to settle their supplier invoice on time. So at the end of December, 286 million has been advanced to various implementing agents. The contingent assets in the main, as previously reported, relates to the Gianota project, as well as the Fumini Advisory Services. Those two matters are before the courts, one in Bulawayo and one in Pretoria at the Gauteng and High Court. And the reduction in the contingent liabilities, the accruals and payables, those are due to the settlements that were processed in the current year. It includes also the guarantees on the TCTA part, where we have paid back some of the loans. And on unauthorized expenditure, as indicated previously, that the department has applied to National Treasury, and National Treasury have submitted to Parliament to SCOPA for the condonation of the unauthorized expenditure that was incurred in the prior financial years. I will talk to irregular expenditure in the subsequent slide. We can move to the next slide, which is the water trading entity. The same as with the main vote, Chairperson, the issue here was always around the bank overdraft that has been resolved. The other main issue that we have constantly reported relates to water sales debt, which has increased by 2.2 billion from the prior year, which has recorded 22 billion or 23 if we round it off at the end of the period of December. For the reporting period, we managed to recover 10.4 billion. There are various interventions that the department has put in place to optimize the recovery and to reduce the incidence of bad debt. That includes the Multi-Disciplinary Revenue Committee, which comprises of Treasury, SALGA, COPTAM, where we are trying to resolve the challenges around non-payment through the entire value chain. The TCTA loans, as indicated earlier on, we are paying those loans to settle, the amounts to TCTA to enable them to settle the loans that they have taken to fund various projects on behalf of the department. And continuing liabilities, similarly, those relate to claims that are against the state, and the detailed reports are available. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure, these are costs related to construction unit of the department and part of the compensation of beneficiaries for the expropriation of land, which relates to Nandoni project. In In terms of irregular expenditure, Chairperson, we have closed the end of December with a total amount of 17.8 billion, which consists of 9.8 and 8 billion for the OTA trading entity and the main account, respectively. We still have 10 billion that is still under condonation, and our investigations that we have concluded is a billion. Those that are still in progress, 6.7 billion, they do take longer. There are engagements with implementing agents, municipalities, and the OTA boards, where some of these costs were incurred. I must also indicate that a bulk of the irregular expenditure that we are reporting, Chairperson, relates to the previous financial years in relation to security costs, and we are really working on closing that. The intention is to ensure that by the end of the financial year, we have a new service provider. We can move to the new to the next slide, which sticks also to this part. The commitment by government is to eliminate all this improper expenditure, unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And it is our intent as well, Chairperson, that come 1st April, all these historic contracts, especially for security, that we have resolved them. We have a process in place where we are replacing the current contract, and the intention is that by the end of March, we should have awarded to the new service providers. And that will bring an end to this reported irregular expenditure. There are also various interventions that we have put in place, as DG has indicated, that we are putting effort in training the supply chain management officials and members of the various supply chain committees at that office, as well as in our regions where we have various clusters and construction sites. We have also standardized our bid evaluation committee processes across the department, and we do also conduct due diligence before the awards are made to ensure that there is compliance. And should we detect any irregular expenditure before the award is made, the adjudication committee and the account officers engage to withdraw. As indicated, Chairperson, we are hopeful that with the assistance of the Chief Procurement Officer, which we have been engaging throughout this process, will be able to bring an end to the irregular expenditure on private security services by a condonation process, but also by replacing these service providers. We can move to the next slide. We reported previously on the status of condonations. These are the key projects. The Guiana one is linked to Cyprian proceedings. There's also a court process, so we are unable to obtain a condonation from National Treasury. We are required to run the full course of these consequence management processes before they can consider the condonation. Similarly, with the Together for the Throat scheme and the one for the Richards Bay, where we had the desalination plant, and the SEP one, also we had SEPs involved, as well as the SIU, but we also have disciplinary proceedings that are taking place. We can move to the next slide. Okay, these are the other cases. We will not be presenting, however, should the need arise, we can go into the detail. It relates to information that we have been requested to provide previously in detail. What are the projects and which municipality are they located in? That information is part of Part B appendix. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you implying that you are not presenting everything from here up until page 79?
Chairperson, the subsequent slides, the breakdown of the same information that I presented, So it's just an indication of where those applications are, the municipalities. So it's the same information that I've presented, unless if there's a need, Chairperson, we can go through them. But it's the same information broken down at lower level.
So we are at, so are we now at, thank you, at page 79. Any of you?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and I think we are all in part of the meeting. I will want to take hands for those, unless there's anything you want to add, Deputy Ministers and DG.
Not from me, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I think the CFO and the DG have said a mouthful. Thank you.
Okay. Can we raise our hand, those that we need to be in the meeting to say something?
Chair, can you see our hands are raised? I just want to find out.
I don't. Let me note you by talking to me, Honorable Basson. Who else?
Honorable Mushala.
Honorable Mushala. And who else? Okay. That's okay, Manuel.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to congratulate the department with a comprehensive report and also the new DG, Dr. Phillips, getting in on this report whilst he was not part and parcel of this report. Secondly, Chairperson, thank you very much for indicating where the problems lie. I'm glad to hear that we'll get the green drop report by the end of March. My question to Dr. Phillips would be, is when can we expect a blue drop report? How would that be rolled out? And Chairperson, then secondly, I am very much concerned about the implementation of water boards assisting municipalities and how that would work. In the past, we struggled with that because of the report line water, the waterfalls under COCTA or in municipalities, their report line is COCTA. And we had numerous meetings in the past between ourselves and COCTA. How we can resolve these problems, because there's not a direct line for Department of Water and Sanitation having issues with municipalities. And then we know that, you know, in Maribeng there was an issue where the previous minister requested Magalis to take over the works of water in Maribeng, and the municipality refused. And that creates a challenge that, you know, you would get some municipalities that feel they're not going to hand over to water boards whilst they don't really have the capability of running these plants. My question then would be, is how do the DG see this be implemented, and will and then also requesting, if not now, then bring a report to the portfolio committee so that we can see how the implementation of this would take place. Thank you very much, Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Mr. Basson. Honorable Mandela.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm just going to show my picture for a while and then switch it off. Thank you so much. Chairperson, I just want to bring to the attention of the members of parliament in this portfolio committee and the deputy ministers, together with the director general, Mr. Philip. For that matter, Mr. Philip, we welcome you as well. That recently I read in the GCIS community website that the department is hosting a 2 days National Water and Sanitation Summit. But to my concern, the portfolio committee is unaware and we were not even informed. I also heard you, Chairperson, this morning when you were giving your remarks, mentioning the issue. Can in future all members of parliament and the support staff of the portfolio committee be included in departmental communications mailing list? This would give us an equal opportunity to decide on attending. It is important, Chairperson, to have a transparent and open process. Chairperson, let me go straight to the presentation. Let's go to page 20 of the presentation. Water resources regulation, which has a bane for the department for a long time. What was the criteria chosen for monitoring 90 water users for compliance? What was the problem found on non-compliance by the water users? Did the department issue directive against the non-compliance? Will the department undertake further studies on challenges associated with non-compliance and find workable solution within the district development model? I heard the president even mentioning it there, that it's a panacea for this department to progress. Chairperson, the other question, when was the 992 wastewater systems assessed for compliance with the Green Drop regulatory requirements? Do you have an assessment or report ready for this assessment, Director General? Chair, the other question, the current administration and completion of major bulk infrastructure under the Water Resources Infrastructure Management, as depicted in page 22, is a reflection of some of the ongoing challenges experienced by the department over the years in it undertaking its core mandate, that of constructing bulk water and sanitation infrastructure schemes for economic and social development in South Africa. Could the department provide some details or analysis on how this proposed establishment of the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency could and would resolve some of these challenges. The raising of the Plan William Dam wall has been in the pipeline for a number of years. What was the accumulated cost of the project since its inception? Those ones of drafting designs and also the engineering cost and other things. What losses has the department incurred over time on this project? You go to slide number 28, on page 28, on the overview of provincial projects funded through the regional bulk and water services infrastructure grants, does not have a column which shows the projected targets. Is the under construction column the same as projected targets, so that a more realistic picture is given to the members? Chairperson, on page 31 of the presentation, explanation of change in direction in respect of establishment of regional water utilities as opposed to extending their roles and responsibilities within existing legislation is unclear. Does this mean the entire concept of establishing regional water utilities is now scrapped? Could the department explain the rationale and modalities of this new arrangement? As I'm about to finish, Chairperson, your expenditure analysis, the expenditure analysis of the financial, the chief financial officer on page 33 reflects challenges in the following areas: procurement, outstanding invoices, withholding of conditional grants, and payment for capital asset. Could the department provide a written and detailed report on challenges associated with these areas, the risk to the organizations, as well as solution that the department is currently engaging on to cap these long outstanding issues? A spend of 55% in the third term is understandable within the context of COVID-19 and other natural disasters the country faced. However, historically, legacy of underspending over the years in each quarter must be seriously addressed by this new administration. Chair, on page 35 of the presentation on transfers and subsidies, what and who are the public corporations and private enterprises that monies are transferred to? If we can get those names. On page 36, Chair, although there appears to be a slight improvement in the financial management of the trading account, the critical area of operations, maintenance, and refurbishment of national water resources schemes, which is critical to water security in the country, reflects a 58% under expenditure. What strategic measures are you putting in place as part of your risk assessment? Condonation by National Treasury is an ongoing struggle for this department. Is the condonation mentioned on page 50 on irregular expenditure on main account of 9.8 billion and the water trading entity of 8 billion not an old issue, which was raised to the portfolio committee 2 years ago? If so, why is there such a delay in finalizing this condonation? And lastly, Chair, has the SIU resolved the matter of the SEP licenses? And is the department still ongoing with retrieval of funds paid from the service provider? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, let me just also throw my bit of some questions that I had. The difficulty, though, is that if you, those of you who are soccer fanatics, Mama Gazi, when Kaizer Chiefs plays and they don't play well in the first half, and they come back in the second half and play better than what they did in the first half, the difficulty you will have is to use the second half as your analogy of the success of the team if it has failed in the first half. But it will still be Kaizer Chiefs. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There is hope in the report. And it is not hope, a thumbs-up hope, because, especially because the Deputy Minister in her opening remarks says that the department has gone to all 9 provinces, and we know you did. So some of the things you say are not thumbs-up, something you know, something you have seen, you recommend from a point of view. However, some questions need to be raised. One, the first one is, I want to appreciate the appointment of this the DG. We have been crying this appointment since our beginning of the sixth term. We could not get through it. But we want to thank you for having done so, Deputy Minister and the team, or Minister and the team, but let's start with the Deputy Minister because it is who I am. That's something that we were crying foul for some months and years, that the DG is not coming to the fore. However, you are saying you have, you, out of 23 out of your senior managers have been appointed, and I'm sure it is not going to be 24 with the CFO. But we are not sure whether it is 24 out of how many that are still outstanding. For us to can give you a very good compliment, if indeed it is nearly the, at the end of you finalizing that appointment. That's one. I must say that though your qualifying small enterprise is 13 out of 15, it does not look bad if you look into the numbers, 13% out of 15%. It does not look bad if you look numbers, but if you look into the money spent of the 13 vis-a-vis the 15, it worries them because it means the poor will remain poor and the richer become richer even at the business level. So a failure to even meet that 15 is worrisome to me. And I think I'm not asking a question, I'm simply saying, please jack up a bit, meet those requirements, even if you can meet 19 out of 15, it will be better. Because that is upbringing of the previous disadvantaged people. I must raise the concern, of course, Mama Gazi, in your opening remarks, you might have read my questions. I don't know, somebody might have read, given my questions, and then she prepares and answering me in advance. But let me try to just talk to them. My worry is the designated group's failure, which my Mama Gazi spoke to, but it is in the report. 19% out of 30% of youth is unacceptable. In actual fact, the youth of this country are now demanding 50%. And so if we can't even meet the 30, it might be a problem. People with disabilities, 2% out of 7%, it's really, really unacceptable, Mama Gazi and Mama Shogo. Please check up that point. I know, but I can't ask you questions because you're not going to change the numbers, it's fine, but we're simply saying, please jack up a bit and better these percentages. Because it is where development is showing that we are indeed taking care of our people in the day-to-day work that we do. The women sector also, 27 out of 40. The women are now demanding 100% and 60% sometimes. We are still failing to meet the 40. It will be, we will still have them complaining about what we do on a day-to-day basis. The expenditure on the Arabic, the expenditure on the Arabic, I am a little bit worried just to, Mamkhala was asking whether are we wanting to change from you being in implementing agent from being using the agencies to implement or want to implement. I know whatever the issue that you want to do, but our expenditure is not satisfying, both in the Arabic, where one believes you are doing well, it is in your WISIC. You are doing well there, but on our Arabic, that is where we want to, the infrastructure development. The infrastructure service process is important. Arabic need to change. The president have spoken about us changing the rural roads and the rural infrastructure. And if our rural municipalities are failing to use the Arabic or even the WISIC, then we are not going to change the history of our rural areas and our roads infrastructure and our even water infrastructure in the process of us not wanting to deal with these issues. Just as an opening comment here on the condemnation on irregular expenditure. We are now in 2022. Most of these expenditures happened prior 2019 when we came into office. And we know that you had plus minus 500 people to charge more, a bit more of that. But in terms of the conditions of service and conditions of employment, in terms of conditions of service and conditions of employment, there is a certain time frame that is allowed for you still to can charge a person. If you fail to charge within the prescribed time, you have to apply for condemnation in terms of the law. And that application of the condemnation becomes a hearing within a hearing. And generally, it is very difficult for you to win lateness in your application for condemnation. I'm not sure whether are we not wasting time at that condemnation application of us having been late in the process of us charging. The worst part here in the report, generally, when we lose cases, we go for review. Now, obviously, the employer's got money to can do that, but is it not a waste of money that you... Remember, we have agreed that the arbitrator's award generally should be final unless he or she might have undermined quite critical things into your presentation. So in most of the cases that you have, you are going for reviews on all the cases you are losing. You are not, and the employers does not, the employees does not have the means to go beyond your labor court and so forth and so on. Is it not something you want to reconsider moving forward and give a report that this is matter that happened beyond your means, and therefore you want them to be condoned in the manner it is? But it is a question I'm asking, I'm not making a statement there. I'm fine that in the WISIC, your average expenditure is 50%. There are places you are spending 97, 80, 70, 40, 30, but average you are above 50. So I'm happy. And I want to agree with Mam Shala about the issue of the invitation to your work that you need us to be involved in. For instance, the issue of the summit that we are having, Masha was telling us, reminding me just to report to the meeting that please, you must please attend. And I think you did also invite us to join you in Northwest and Northern Cape, even though it was a little bit late. But if we can do it a little bit early, we will attend, and therefore we will be better people in engaging your meeting and engaging with the stakeholders, because we are also people that can speak to the public about these issues that is difficult for you to explain. Not very difficult because you can't, but only because you have got no time. Most of your time you are busy implementing. We must be in your mouthpiece if we are being taken on board. So I agree with Mushara that please inform us in time. Let us decide where to apply, and we must not choose not to attend. We must try to attend. We might be raising issue of transport and so forth and so on. But in the further analysis, we should be attending. Thank you. Is there anyone whose hand is up that I haven't seen before I give the minister, the deputy ministers? None.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me apologize on behalf of the department that the invitation arrived late for the attention of the portfolio committee. And I think next time we will try to perform much better than we did previously and now as we are preparing towards the summit. But I need to indicate that post the finalization of the provinces, the minister said that we need to go into the summit so that by the end of the financial year, when we start the new financial year, we already know we've got resolutions, we've got plans in place such that in the next financial year, we don't procrastinate in making sure that we execute the plans. But Mem Khala and Honorable Mashego and members of the portfolio committee, I would want to say that in future, we definitely will be able to improve how we engage and interact with the portfolio committee. like the DG was indicating on certain things that we are ready to can come and make a presentation to the portfolio committee. Indeed, we would improve on how we would be doing our things. But Chairperson, let me give to the DG and the team of the DDGs that are on the platform. I've already seen some of the DDGs, Nemo Choti, who is also here. I've introduced the others, the acting DDG, Thokozi Gwaza, is also on the platform. But this is the team of men and women in the department who will be responding to the issues that the leadership of the portfolio committee have raised. DDG, your response. Dear Mahlobo, would you want to talk to some of the issues?
Hello, Mama Kasi, I'll come at the end when the team has responded.
Thank you very much. DG, Dr. Phillips, or Mem Khala, the DG is Dr. Sean Phillips.
Thank you very much.
I said so. I said Mr. Phillips.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for also informing us with his name. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd like to try and answer some of the questions and then ask some of my colleague DDGs to add. So to start with regard to the question raised by Mr. Basson, about the how we're going to involve the water boards more in municipalities in the light of the fact that there's no direct reporting line between municipalities and us. Honourable Member, we are intending to get more involved in improving, in supporting municipalities and addressing instances of non-adherence to national norms and standards for water and sanitation in a variety of ways. And deploying the capacity in the water boards is just one of them. We're also looking at using our internal construction unit capacity in some instances. We're also looking at partnering with the Infrastructure Fund in the DBSA and its emphasis on trying to get the private sector more involved in infrastructure delivery, including water and sanitation services at municipalities. So we also, as part of the strategies, we want to have one of the tools in our toolbox to get the assistance of the private sector where appropriate in terms of assisting municipalities to improve water and sanitation services. Then we want to also use our provincial offices more as well to more effectively support municipalities. So we are currently working on the development of an integrated plan of how we're going to play a more effective role in supporting municipalities, covering all of these different tools at our disposal, which we hope to have in place in approximately 3 months from now. And then we'll be able to respond to your question more fully as to how it's going to work and in what circumstances we're going to deploy water boards to address problems, and what circumstances we're going to use other tools at our disposal to support municipalities and help to address problems. You're quite right, we will need to do it very close, working very closely together with COGSA, which is what we intend to do. Turning to the question by Honourable Member Moklala about the very poor performance where we didn't achieve any out of five targets. I agree, it is a reflection of very poor performance. And as I indicated, we do, one of the things that I've picked up in the month that I've been in the department is that there's a lot of work to be done to improve our procurement and supply chain management. The non-achievement of that particular target was related to not engaging in procurement processes timelessly, which is also then related to weaknesses with planning of implementation within the department. So I am going to focus on measures to address that together with the CFO. Honourable Mokhlala, with regard to your question about the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency, the agency, the bill which we'll be presenting to the cluster before the end of March and then to Cabinet for approval to release for public comment. That bill indicates that the NWRIA will basically be formed by merging the water trading entity in the department, the elements of the infrastructure branch in the department, and the TCTA. Its focus will be on the financing and construction and management of national water resource infrastructure. It won't have any focus on water services infrastructure. Its mandate will only be to focus on those parts of the water value chain which are the responsibility of the national department, i.e. the national water resource infrastructure. And the main benefit of establishing the NWRIA is that by creating one institution which will own the assets, the national water resource assets, infrastructure assets, all the large dams, etc., is that it will then have a very substantial balance sheet. And the intention is to have an institution which is able to use that balance sheet to raise much more finance than has been raised in the past to enable the construction of the huge amount of water resource infrastructure which is required in the country over the coming decades if we're going to avoid shortages of water in the future, so that we have sufficient water to provide for both economic needs resulting from economic growth and the needs of households. And with regard to the question about Clan William Dam, the total budget for that, the total estimated cost of that dam by the time it's completed is approximately 3.9 billion rand, and the total expenditure to date is 921 million. Honourable Mokhlala, I suggest that when we come and present on all the projects in the department, or all the large projects in the department, we will be also presenting in more detail on Clan William Dam, what is the current situation and what is progress at the moment. With regard to your question, Honourable Mokhlala, about the explanation that we gave about the target of establishing regional water utilities, perhaps to try and clarify that, the concept of creating water regional water utilities is under review with the new leadership in the department, and our focus at the moment is on deploying, using the water boards in terms of existing legislation to more effectively support municipalities. That is our major focus at the moment. I can't say that we've completely scrapped the idea of creating regional water utilities, but it's not our main focus at the moment. Our main focus is to work within the existing legislation and work with the water board so that they more effectively support municipalities. And Honourable Mokhlala, we also hear your request about making a presentation and a detailed written input on various issues in the financial part of the presentation, such as our challenges with procurement and the need to reallocate between municipalities. So we can be available, of course, to come and present to the committee on those issues. I'd like to ask Leonardo Manus, our acting DG for regulation, to, with your permission, Chairperson, to respond to some of the questions with regard to the blue drop and green drop and other questions related to regulation.
Honourable members, Honourable Chair, Deputy Ministers, I would just like to answer the question with regards to what are we doing in terms of the non-compliance detected. In terms of the there are three areas that we are currently focusing on quite significantly so. The one would be in terms of the pollution, and the majority of the pollution, as we have noted, has been in the space of our local authorities, which is local government. The DJ mentioned regarding the improvement plan that we have for water service authorities, and that include the space of wastewater as well, which means that there need to be a new way of ensuring improvement and turnaround of wastewater instead of just following the normal conventional way conventional way in terms of issuing directives in terms of Section 19 of the National Water Act, and then continue to actually follow up in that. So we are now in a space where we're trying to do something a little bit more different. We have intervened in the space of the Vaal, and also now similar in Tshwane as well, where we have now taken a new step in the direction in that regard as well, where in terms of a directive that has been issued, but we have been in conversation with the Water Service Authority, and now taking another step towards the point of trying to ensure that that intervention is no longer just implemented according to a directive issued before, but we have to take a step forward. But the main issue remains is to see how interventions could be more formalized, sustained, and become more effective in the future, and that will be according to the lines in terms of what the DG just have mentioned. The other element in terms of the dam safety, we have found also that there are a number of dams that might have been constructed and not according to the regulations set for dam safety, and there we are also taking a route of looking at our professional people who are appointed to ensure the assistance to water users with the construction of dams, to actually have an angle of attack from that perspective as well, and in terms of overuse, in terms of the license conditions that have been set. So we have trained our compliance monitoring officials in the department in collaboration with UNISA, and we do believe that this training will pay off in terms of a more effective way of compliance monitoring through our regional offices of Proto CMAs and the CMAs that we have. The benefit will be seen over the next year in terms of how we believe that our reaction to non-compliance detection will actually improve. In terms of our blue drop and green drop, all 998 wastewater treatment works have been audited fully with all the criteria set as per the green drop certification program. We are in the process of drafting the report with a target to have the report released by end of March 2022. We are well on track in doing that. Now, this full audit actually entailed the entire class of requirements that is set as per the green drop program. And that report will be a full report covering all municipalities that in the country. So all water service authorities have been audited for all wastewater treatment systems that they are responsible for. So that report is currently being completed and will be issued in due course. In terms of the blue drop certification, which is the drinking water side of the business of municipalities, we did a risk assessment as per the World Health Organization's Water Safety Plan risk requirements of all systems. It's 1,248 systems that we have subjected to this risk assessment, which is a more, it's a lower level of audit, basically. And so a progress report in that regard will also be available. In the following year, it will be the other way around, where we will then be doing a full audit on the drinking water side, and we will then do a risk assessment as per our wastewater risk abatement planning process that we've set ourselves in place in South Africa. And we will then be giving a progress report on the green drop report in the next year, and a full audit report on our drinking water as per the blue drop in the following year. But for now, we can assure you that our green drop report is near completion and will be issued in due course. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Leonardo. Chairperson, you also asked a question about the SMS positions and slide six. The information is that we've got 249 SMS positions in the department in total, and currently 186 of them are filled. So 75% of our SMS positions are filled in the department. The department has taken an approach of starting from the top down with filling of the DGs, DDGs, chief directors first, and from moving forward, the focus will be on filling the remaining vacant director positions. So most of the current vacancies are at director level. As indicated on slide six, we have two DDG positions in which we have acting people at the moment. Both of them were advertised and have now been re-advertised.
And as the Deputy Minister indicated, we'll be interviewing for those shortly. We have one DDG position where there's an incumbent who's facing disciplinary charges, and we're working hard to try and resolve that as soon as possible, hopefully by before the end of March. And then all of our chief director positions are filled except for one where the person left, resigned from the department to join Parliament in January. And we've advertised that one vacant chief director position. With your permission, Chairperson, I'd like to ask Frans to come in to answer some of the financial questions.
Thank you, Eugene. I'll start with the first question that was asked by the Honourable Member on the public corporations. The others DG has covered. The reported public corporations relates to the Beng Water, Mahalis Water, as well as Umgen. Those are the ones that we have listed in the presentation for the financial year under review. So those are the public corporations that we have in there. And then regarding the SCM and the risk strategy, DG has covered that. I think when we have the next opportunity to reflect on measures that we are putting in place to deal with some of the bottlenecks that we have hinted on, it will be covered in that presentation or the report to Parliament. And there was also a comment or question on the condonation process. There we do agree, Chairperson and Honourable Member Mutala, that the department did report before on the condonations in the year 2019. But as indicated, I think the Chairperson also gave his perspective that we should expedite the process on disciplinary proceedings. So that we will be doing, guided by the leaded by the DG. So we do take note that in terms of the Treasury circulars and regulations around condonation, we have to run this process in full. The other element that is derailing the process, it relates to the cases that are
lost Mr. Moatse. I don't know whether it's only me.
Oh, I thought it's me only also. We have lost you, sir.
I suggest, Chair, we continue, and perhaps Frans can, the CFO can continue when he gets back in.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
I think that completes our responses from the official sides, Chairperson. Perhaps Deputy Minister McClobock could come in now.
Sorry, DG, I got cut off. I'm just on another laptop now. Sorry, my apologies.
Franz, you can proceed quickly.
Yes, thanks a lot. I think I was still on the condolations that we are engaging with initial Treasury, and have taken in the inputs from the portfolio committee. Also regarding the underachievement on designated groups, we have taken the inputs as well from the portfolio committee, and we are engaging with our gender and mainstreaming unit to ensure that we improve on the performance. And thanks, Edia. My apologies for the network challenge.
As you come in, will you also speak to our resolved accruals approach in our last meeting, camp?
Honorable Mashiro, the DM must also, or maybe the CFO must come back in this issue of condonation. We are asking what is the cause of the delays?
Okay.
we understand, yes, he is aware of these things and it happened 2 years ago, but now what is the cause of the delay? When they are in engagement with the National Treasury, what is the National Treasury saying to them? He was still saying that is because of cases, but when he came back, he did not mention those things. So we want to hear what is the reason for the delays. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was indicating that those cases that are still at the disciplinary proceeding stage are the ones that need to be completed before National Treasury can finally approve the condonation. Similarly, with the cases that are still with the police, SIU, as well as the court proceedings. So we need to conclude those processes before National Treasury can finally give us a condonation. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks to honourable members, to Mamagat, the Deputy Minister, DG. Well, Chair, thank you very much for the guidance you continuously give us, and also the support that the standalone ministry is seeking, but also very hard at work. The issue around the financial management, firstly, we must congratulate France that after going through processes led by Minister and ourselves, the DG, Cabinet has confirmed his appointment. One of the biggest issues that we have always raised sharply, yourselves as honorable members, over a period of close to 3 years, Chair, was the question of stability in the leadership of the finance division. And now that we are having a full-time kind of a CFO, that is the first issue of stabilization. Well, DG has also indicated to stabilize leadership, we lost one of the very credible and hard-working head of risk and audit, and DG has prioritized that particular matter because the issues of leadership, Your Excellencies, members of Parliament, it's an important issue. Secondly, there is a turnaround plan that we gave you around how are we turning around the issues of finances. But not only the issues of finances, but the department in particular. Therefore, when Mamagat started, the appointment of a well-seasoned, well-round off, but technically competent and hardworking DG, it is a step in the right direction. And I think, honorable members, you'll agree, it's one of the things that you said, our talk or commitment, if it is not matched by actions, it doesn't actually indicate that we are serious. We are now serious, including the very same setting of standard. We will never appoint anybody who doesn't meet the criteria or lower the standard to suit certain individuals. Therefore, that plan, Honorable Chair, Comrade Mashifo, we will want to come back with the finance team to indicate how far have we gone. Because a number of tools, there's been a very good progress. But the areas of concern still remain. One of the issues that we had to deal with, there were too many people that the department was owing over quite some time, and we had a lot of approvals. But also certain projects that were actually not kicking off. The DG and the team has put in a project management system in place. Even the priority projects that Minister Mthuli and ourselves have agreed, that will continuously monitor them, not only monitor them, but report, but also going on site. And I'm very happy to hear Honorable Comrade Fighter Mutala also speaking about projects. One of the biggest issues that in the water sector, we need a lot of money, but the money that we have, we still have to spend it, and there must be value, and water must be delivered to communities.
that system, Chair, I can indicate is in place. One of the attitudes as a ministry we've adopted, and we've said to DG, we don't want any cent, I repeat, Comrade Mashiach or Chair, not one cent to go back and get to the communities in various flat areas of our land without particular issues of what. Therefore, we should be able to deal with that, including the audit issues around the audit outcomes. I thought I should be able to cover that. There are certain aspects, Chair, that I must agree, they have not been achieved, and others are not easy. One of the issues that has not been easy was what the CFO is saying, the condonation process. The condonation, you will not be able to get a half condonation. And the amount that is involved, Your Excellencies, is a very big amount. That's why we've had more than one meetings as a ministry, but the DG has also taken this matter around the question of engagement with the SIU, the Hawks, and other law enforcement agencies, especially where there are matters of criminality. That have impacted on us, because Treasury, in terms of the requirements of the PFMA and the new Audit Act, there has to be consequences. There are consequences that are happening, but some of these consequences were depending on the other agencies. We'll continuously keep this matter on the table, because if that amount has not been condoned, and over time ourselves are also incurring irregular expenditure, our trying to redeem the image of the department with the highest irregular expenditure that is being recorded does not look good. But we affirm there is not going to be any wavering around taking the decisive action, but also including conclusion of that particular post where internal disciplinary processes, certain processes have taken long, and DG has been personally involved in ensuring some of the outcome by those disciplinary committees or tribunals, those matters are finalized. The other issues, I think, Chair, Mama Gatsi and the team, they've responded well, except that we'll very be pleased as partners, but more importantly, because water and sanitation is a bigger societal issue right now. And it's a human rights matter, a right that is actually not limited. It would be an honor that Your Excellencies, even if it's on a short notice, you grace us so that we can be able to benefit from your own lived experiences and wisdom as legislators when we actually meet on Friday and Saturday to craft not to go there and do more analysis, Chair, but to get down to work from issues of infrastructure that have been neglected over time and the issues of infrastructure that must be expanded to certain communities, the role of business, and other issues that we need to deal with, including the issues of institutional arrangement, like Honorable Basson, because these institutions, they must be at the disposal of the minister and government, that they too must not only just be getting money, but they must make an impact until to the end user, not to say we start here and we end here. That's why the reconfiguration of the boards is an important matter, and the decisions that we've made of our intention to expand in the other boards to deal with other areas, but also to have a difficult issue that we must discuss, including the issues you have raised around the blue drop and green drop, how South Africans, through their own action in terms of human conduct, have contributed in the biggest way that the biggest volumes of our water in our land is polluted, and how are we going to reverse it so that this